Well, today I wanted to talk about seeds. And I've actually bought today some lemon seeds, not that you would see them or anything, and not that they're special. You know, they're not going to do anything. But the beauty of a seed is if planted, it has the potential to become something that it's not of itself, in a sense that I don't plant that seed and then a whole lot of other little seeds come out. The potential of that seed is to become a lemon with seeds. And so it's not even just I plant one seed. The seed itself has the potential not only to produce fruit but multiplying fruit. And when we explore today's passage, I want you to keep that in mind, because often when we think of seeds and the scriptures talk about seeds, we do one plus one. But when the scripture talks about seeds, it's always talking about mass multiplication. The parable of the sower indicates this, particularly the fourth soil, which is the good soil, indicates that when that seed falls into the good soil and multiplies, it multiplies itself exponentially. And so when we talk about seeds, and they can be negative or positive into our life, we need to remind ourselves it doesn't even have the potential for 1 + 1 = 2, but 1 × 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1, and that multiplication increases. A seed can be something now, but in the future becomes so much more than we could have ever imagined or ever considered. Let me pray for us as we open the Word of God today. Lord, we stand here in celebration of answered prayer, as Anthony has shared. And Lord, often when you work, the medical world will often think of a way of trying to interpret. But Lord, we sit here with thankfulness of heart, because we know that you're a God that loves us deeply, that you hear our prayers. And in this instance, we celebrate good news. Lord, today we want to open your word, and maybe a familiar scripture with a newness and freshness. And more importantly, Lord, what do you want to say to us this morning? May our hearts be open today. We may have come from busy weeks, and maybe there's many things on our mind at this moment. But Lord, in your grace, would you settle our hearts and minds to receive from your word today? We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to be reading from... that went the wrong way. That's an interesting... So I'm reading from Galatians 6, 7 to 10. If you've got binoculars, you could read that. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A person reaps what they sow. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So there are three principles I want to drill down into from this passage. And the first one is this: God knows what you sow. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. God knows. God knows the true intention of the heart, the inner thoughts, the motivations behind our actions and activity. God can't be outsmarted or fooled. God sees through our facade, our masks, and says, I know who you are, and I know the motives behind your actions. But I want us to keep intention here, because often what we do is we think in the negative in this space. We think of, oh, well, God knows my weakness and my problems, and therefore I need to be careful that I don't reap just bad stuff. But I want to suggest too, we need to keep the tension here of God's love and grace that he shows towards us in Christ. Sometimes we think, oh, well, I better watch out to what I am sowing. But I would want to suggest, be glad to be sowing into the things of God. Maybe you're one of those people who says, I'm just waiting for something bad to happen. How many of us would suggest that we feel that way? We live our life and there's this sense of we're just waiting for the bubble to burst or things to go wrong. Because why? That's what's happened in the past. And what we don't know in that moment, we're actually sowing those seeds. We're sowing into that future. But I would like to think that we can keep in tension the realities of God's love and grace towards us. That the scriptures tell us we actually don't get often what we deserve. That God's love breaks through. God's love does exceedingly more than we could have ever imagined or hoped. God cannot be mocked, for to mock is to show a dishonoring attitude that shows low estimation, contempt, or even hostility towards someone. Don't believe for a minute that God doesn't know the hearts of people. We see that throughout the Psalms. Often David is crying out, Lord, do you see the actions of that person? Do you see what that person is trying to do? And that person, in the deception of their life, thinks that they're going to get away with it, but God sees. And whether in this life or the next, God sees and God will bring judgment. Jesus said in Luke 12, verse 2, there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. Be careful. Know that God sees. Know that God knows. There are no secrets. So that's the first principle. God knows what you sow. It's doing like this funny loop thing. Because I'm trying to get, there it is. Number two, what you sow is what you will get. Once the seed is sown, that seed has growth potential in it to multiply. So once you deliver it, and if you leave it or tender it, it's going to produce what you have sown. How many of you like playing Pictionary? I love playing Pictionary. Well, I used to love playing until one particular day. Wendy and I are on the same team. It's good if you've got other people there to be on the team of someone else other than your spouse. And I say that genuinely. Well, in this moment, I had the card given to me and it said, the man from Snowy River. And I went, okay, we're going to nail this, Wend. We're on track here. And so I drew like a hill with a house on it, a stick figure of a guy sitting on what looked like a stick figure of a horse with an arrow pointing down the hill. And I said, come on. And I'm just there and watching the timer go down and I'm just... you draw over the same arrow five times, pointing down the hill. And anyway, time ran out and I was so annoyed and I turned to Wendy and I said, for someone that is so intelligent, I can't believe you didn't get that. And at that moment, three car alarms went off and five dogs barked in the distance. And a husband in his heart went, uh-oh. And let me just say in that moment, I planted a seed. And it was a seed that I didn't like the immediate fruit from. And I remember just thinking, we're just playing a game, does it matter? But I'd actually said something harsh and quite relational to my wife in that moment. And I said, sorry, which is what you need to do, but it takes some time sometimes for that forgiveness to flow through. So a couple of years later, she began to talk to me again. No, she was gracious and forgave me. But I remember as I was preparing this week, I thought, Do you know those moments where a seed is planted, where there's an offence that's been caused, or something harsh has been said between particularly two people that are in friendship or in relationship? If in that moment I doubled down and said, well, that's your problem, I've actually planted a seed. And if I don't own it, if I don't, you know, if my awareness is not there of the significance of that seed or the negativity of that seed, if I just let that sit there, it will grow. It will multiply. And I suspect many of us in a room of this side have had words spoken over their life and they weren't retracted. There was no forgiveness. And in fact, there was only reinforcement, which is like fertilizer. And then years later, when the relationship breaks down or a circumstance happens where there's disconnection, and how many times do I sit with people when they say, yeah, I haven't spoken to that person for 20 years. And I say, what happened? And they said, oh, there was a day. There was a moment. There was an interaction. There was something said. This is what Paul's warning us about. When seeds get planted, they have the potential to bring about a reality in the future. And Paul is encouraging people to sow of the Spirit, because what we reap from that are the things of God, the things of the kingdom. A person reaps what they sow, the scripture says. Paul was saying that whatever you sow, whether it be physical, natural, or spiritual, can only reproduce itself. You can't expect something different. The person that continually sows in discouragement can't expect one day for there being encouragement. The farmer reaps the same as he has sown, but not exactly. And this is the example of the lemon seed that I said at the beginning. The lemon seed doesn't grow just more lemon seeds, but more lemons with seeds. There is an increase. There is a multiplication. So even when we sow to the Spirit, we might think, well, all I like to do is to cook. And there's some fantastic cooks in this church. Or all I like to do and what I'm drawn to do is to give my finances and resources, whatever it may be. It's not just the physical that you are doing when you sow to the Spirit. You are sowing to the spiritual things in doing that. I am not, and I'll make this really clear, I'm not a fan of the prosperity gospel at all. Because I think prosperity is of the heart. And I believe if we have resources and God gives us things, we are to give generously. But it's what is in the heart that matters. And I, in our years over in India, have met people who have zero, and yet they have a richness that I don't have. And so when we sow, whatever it is of our resources, of our time, of our energy, of our giftedness, if we sow to the Spirit and we sow to the things that honour God, then we will reap a harvest. That's what the scriptures say. There'll be transformation in our life, but the passage is also talking about the future. It's talking about the age to come, eternal life. And I believe eternal life for the Christian is not when we breathe our last breath on this earth, but what we live now. The eternal life of God is at work in me. In fact, death just becomes the last gift that God gives me that helps me step into eternity with Him. If you sow according to God's pleasing presence and His will for your life, you will reap the life of the kingdom of God and the eternal life of the age to come. What you sow is what you will get. Number three, if you sow, you will reap a harvest. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Now, I want to look at this in regard to two things. Firstly, it's the personal. What am I sowing into my life? If all you do is turn up to church on a Sunday for this hour and a half and think that that is going to connect you in relationship with God, that's your sowing, then it won't be a surprise that the other 6 days and the majority of that seventh day, God's not a part of your world. In fact, I believe church is just one step in the expression of a Christian faith. It's part of coming together with the body of Christ to celebrate what you're already doing in your life. And as I shared about the disciple of Jesus, church is a part of that. We're encouraged through the scriptures to be part of the body of Christ, to express the giftedness that God has given us, to serve one another and to serve the people beyond these walls. But I know as a person, the rhythms of my week can often indicate that I'm sowing something other than the kingdom of God. If I've got some habits, if there are some addictions that I'm battling with, then I'm fighting in reality of those seeds being planted in my life. If there are broken relationships, I'm living with the reality of those seeds. And sometimes, as this passage is indicating, I have sowed things in my past that now are in harvest time. If there's been a relationship that you haven't been giving attention to, for a while you might get away with it, but then there'll be a day when that harvest will come and you'll go, I don't like it. There's something wrong with our relationship. We need help. We need support. We need prayer. This can be true of our physical self. If we are hanging out at Baker's Delight all the time, then at some point in our life, that harvest will come in, and it might be the result of a blood test, or it might be the result of something happening to you physically. We see the realities of this in the physical world and respond, but we don't always respond from a spiritual point of view. One of the other challenges we face is that we are often into short-term fixes. I just got to fix this. I'm not feeling good. I just need to go down and do something for myself. And actually what we're doing is we're beginning to seed self-reliance. We're beginning to seed possibly a vice that becomes important to us that we rely on to make us feel better. As someone who really likes sport, I find myself going, I just need to watch a footy game. Now, there's some helpful aspects to that. But if football and sport becomes my God, and we're seeing that in our culture. Bruce and I were having lunch this week and we were talking about how beer, betting and sport is becoming a significant aspect of our culture, particularly for men. And the challenge of all that is what seeds are sown into that. Now, on their own, I'm not a big betting person, but on their own, those things aren't going to be so significant. But if they become what matters to you, if they become your heartbeat and life beat, then you will reap a harvest of such actions. And I, as a community ministry manager for many years, have seen many marriages and households destroyed from one of those three things, where someone's life has planted seeds and a harvest has come and it's destroyed families. It's changed lives. So what are we sowing personally? What are the rhythms of our week look like? Where does God turn up in our lives? What is the priority of the scriptures and prayer in our life? Because if we sow into those things, they will reap a harvest in our life. They will bring the things that honour and bring glory to God. And what about as a church? What are the rhythms of our church here at Sea Change? What are the things we're doing? Because I actually believe now we're actually living out of some of the harvest of the prayers that have gone before us. The fact that we have a building like this and the fantastic relationship that we've got with the Salvation Army, the fact that there's this future that God is seeding at the moment in our prayers about the possibility of what is to come,
All of those are things that are taking place. And I want to see a great harvest, not a great building. I want to see a great harvest of hearts and of souls won to Christ. But what we do now matters towards that harvest. It'd be easy just to wait and go, let's just wait a few years till we get into a new space and then we'll really... But the problem with that is that we're sowing now for what is ahead. And so God's been really challenging me and going, Grant, what are you prepared to do? What are you prepared to do? There's a great psalm. And it says this, restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. Now, the interesting thing of that psalm is this whole idea that when you go out, when there is deep desire and the things of God, when there is weeping, I'm not saying that you go, I try and make myself cry while I pray. But when there is that deep anguish of heart, that deep desire to see the things of God not only being sown, but the harvest of what God intends, then there's this incredible joy that this scripture says will be the reality. The carrying sheaves with them means that there is a great harvest that has been accomplished. Wendy and I have spent many times in India, and it'll flavour many an illustration, I'm sure. We were over there, I think it was in about 2009, and there had just been an incredible breakout of persecution in Orissa State in India, which is one of the mostly highest persecuted states in India, is Orissa. And anyway, these two pastors had arrived at the compound in Hyderabad, and we were sitting with them, and it's always through a translator. And these two brothers were sharing about how this mob had come into their village and basically were hunting Christians. And they basically ran for their lives. As they were running, their houses were burning in the background, and these men were being chased into these big cornfields and literally hiding. And these mob came into the cornfields, and one of the brothers said, we were praying, Lord, if this be our last moment, we're safe in your hands. And anyway, he relays the story that these men were walking past him within a metre or two but couldn't see him. And anyway, they made their way to Hyderabad, and in my justice-filled Western mind, I'm thinking, well, where are the police? You know, where is the law that... And basically, the inference was the police aren't really interested. When the mobs, and they were Hindu mobs in this case, were doing what they do, the police stay in the police station. And so we sat with these two brothers and heard their story, and then they began to pray. And I will not forget it. Don't look at me, because it'll make me cry as well. But I have never heard two people pray. It wasn't judgment. It wasn't, Lord, slay these people, get rid of them. But these words of Psalm 126 came alive for me, because they prayed and they wept with all their heart. What for? The salvation of the souls of those people who had hunted them. Because in their hearts, they said, we want to go home. We want to go back to those villages to proclaim who Jesus Christ is. And so they wept. Those who go out weeping, carrying seeds to sow, they believed that they will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. And so these men prayed and they wept, and we wept with them, because I was like, Lord, this is incredible. This is incredible, the heart and the hunger they have to sow the seeds of your kingdom in the face of persecution. If you sow, you will reap a harvest. God knows what you sow, What you sow is what you will get. If you sow, you will reap a harvest. There's another story I want to share with you, a bit closer to home. I was ringing a man that we had been supporting through our community ministries for many years. Let's just call him Phil. And Phil was interested in becoming a volunteer. And so part of our screening process is that we have either a phone call or in-person conversation. And so I was just talking with Phil and I said, Phil, tell me a little bit about yourself. And in that next 10 minutes, he relayed what all I could describe as a life full of carnage. And yet here he was wanting to serve, wanting to be active in the community again. And he said these words to me. He said, you know what, Grant, today is the most important day of my life. And I'm thinking, it's his birthday? Here's a guy that had come from significant alcohol and narcotics abuse. And he said, today is the most important day of my life. And I said, why is that, Phil? And he said, because the choices I make today determine how I wake tomorrow, what my tomorrows will look like. And I pushed him on it. I said, what does that mean? He says, well, if I want to stay in sobriety, and he'd been there for 20 years now, he said, I've still got to make the choice today. Because what I do today affects tomorrow. So even if I've had a good run, even if things are going well, I still need to make a decision today to sow into my tomorrow. And I said to Phil, that is one of the most profound things that I've heard in a long time. Because I don't often think about what I'm doing. We often just think in the moment and do our stuff. And yet Phil, he knows what he does today will have an effect tomorrow. And it started me thinking post that phone call and over the years since then. And I'm always asking the Lord, what am I sowing, Lord? Can you show me what I'm sowing? Bring to mind, am I sowing the things of your kingdom? Because if I am, I know that there will be a harvest in my life of your presence, of your mercy, of your grace. And we as a church, now I'm at Scene Change, no longer Padstow, but as a church, Lord, what are we sowing as we pray, as we worship? As we live our lives in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our workplace, what are we sowing? Are we sowing the things of the kingdom or are we sowing something different? Because there will be a harvest of that. There will be a harvest. I want to finish with this one thought before we spend some time in prayer. There's a big disclaimer in today's message, though. And God pulled me up on this. Because sometimes, you know, we can think that, well, I've done this, so I'm just going to get what I deserve. But God reminded me that when he intervenes, we actually don't get what we deserve. And that's our salvation, isn't it? We don't get what we deserve. We are deserving of judgment. We are deserving to be separated from God. And yet in his mercy, he comes through the expression of his son. And we actually don't get what we deserve. We actually get a whole different future. And I was wrestling with this, and the Lord, I felt really put on my heart. He said, forgiveness can change the harvest. I went, you know, this is me. I'm a verbal processor. So I'm going, Lord, what do you mean by that? Even though we might have sowed something that is not honouring to God, where forgiveness and repentance is active, God can actually transform that seed that has been planted. God can actually bring restoration and transformation. Just like in that Pictionary game, forgiveness as quickly as possible. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I don't know how many times relationships have broken down and someone at some point in time took ownership and went back into that situation and there's been years of destruction and then forgiveness or repentance takes place and then there's a change. There's a new harvest. And the trajectory of that relationship was no longer towards disconnection, but all of a sudden it moved towards intimacy, connectedness, Don't underestimate what forgiveness, repentance, and a partnering with God can bring about in the transformation of that harvest. That's what God does. How I thought we'd finish today. What I want to encourage, and some of you might go, you will, don't worry, there's one or two always, sometimes it's me. I want you to turn to two or three people around you. There it was, on cue. I'll give you $20 later, thank you. But what we want to do is just for 5 minutes, just share, and it could be one or the other. What's one thing that you want to start sowing in your life that maybe you're not sowing at the moment? And alternatively, what's one thing that you are sowing that you want to sow something new in regard to? Don't underestimate new starts, new beginnings, new prayers for what God wants to do. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity that we've had this morning to wrestle with your word. And we want to do that, Lord, beyond just this short time. Even for the rest of this day, Lord, would you help us to wrestle in our hearts, Lord? What are we sowing? And God, I pray it would be to your kingdom, your ways, your commands, the leading of your spirit. Father, I'm reminded of the last words that Paul says in this passage. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Lord, help us to take those words with us as we walk from here, to do good to others through the power of empowering of your spirit. Lord, all things become possible. So we go with thankful hearts today. Bless our weeks ahead and bring to our attention, Lord, how we can sow differently into our life. Let us not forget the power of forgiveness. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.